Father, tonight we're both humbled and very thankful, Father, tonight, just for the sweet, sweet presence, God, of the Holy Spirit tonight in this place. We'd ask you, God, to just hear the cries, hear the petitions, Father, of our own hearts tonight. Lord, there's many, many needs spoken. Lord, there's many I know as well that are unspoken, God, tonight. And Lord, I know you know them all. For the Word says, Father, that you look inside of a man and that you know our needs and you know our burdens. Father, I would ask you tonight to just minister to us tonight in a way, God, that would glorify and bless and lift and exalt your name, God, is my prayer. I pray for this Word tonight, God. I pray for this message, God, Father, that you placed upon me. Would ask you, God, just to use it to glorify your name and allow it to penetrate our sometimes hardened hearts. I pray for our country. I pray for our community, Father. Lord, I pray for those in our own families, God, tonight that need a special touch from a righteous and a mighty God. Father, again, bless those that are here tonight. Father, may you continue to work and heal in their lives. May you just show yourself, Father, strong. May you show yourself, Father, in a way that we may realize, God, that you are our blessed hope. Without you, Father, we have nothing. And without you, Father, we have no hope. And God, tonight, I would just ask you, Father, that you would just bestow in us, Father, that still strong, still sweet spirit, Father, that only you can. Tonight, Father, we come and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, I would ask you to turn with me in the New Testament into the book of James. James chapter 4 is where I'm going to be sharing out of tonight. As I read through God's Word, I try each day to read at least two or three chapters out of the Old Testament and at least two or three each day out of the New Testament. Sometimes morning, sometimes night, whenever the Lord inspires, which I thank God for speaking to my heart and just showing me that the truth is surely in His Word. You know, I asked a pastor friend of mine about 5-6 years ago now if it would be okay if I prayed for him every day. And he acknowledged that he would really appreciate that. He did tell me that since we were separated by a few thousand miles, that it would be a very non-contact friendship. And I understood that. But you know, I told him quickly, you know, aren't you glad to know that the arms of the Lord are not short? That when we pray for another's needs, no matter how far off they are, no matter how sick they are, that God still hears, God still helps, and praise God, God still heals. God's always so good. In your Bibles, in the book of James chapter 4, we read these words in verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Some powerful verses. That verse 7, I want to share with you some insight that the Lord's laid on my heart. Submitting yourselves, myself, to God. You know, those words seem simple. Those words seem small. Just a matter of just a few words. But such a tall order in this day and time with our pushed schedules and our time frames and all the things that we have scheduled in our lives every day to do. Submitting ourselves to God. Now, how do we submit ourselves before God? Do we submit ourselves before God in attending church on a regular basis? Sure we do. Do we submit ourselves before God in prayer? Well, sure we do. Do we submit ourselves before God as we read and as we study God's Word? We certainly do. Do we submit ourselves before God each time that we try to help someone that has a special need and we know we're doing it in the Lord's will? We most certainly do. So there's a lot of ways you and I can submit ourselves before God. But how do we submit ourselves before God knowing that our needs are recognized and our needs are met so that God may receive the glory and praise and honor for all of it? You know, I hear so many people many times ask me, Billy, when you pray, does God always answer your prayers? I read an email this morning that asked that very question. Billy, when you pray, does God always answer the prayers? Well, I want you to know tonight, God always answers prayer if it comes from the heart of a believer. God always answers prayer. You know, some of the greatest prayers I've ever had in my life God to answer was the prayers that I prayed that God did not answer in the way that I saw fit. So many times I prayed for things. So many times I prayed for people. I remember sometime several years back, there was a gentleman that I was attending church with, and he had a brother that was very, very sick with cancer. And every time I saw him, he would come up to me and ask me, please pray that my brother would be whole. Please pray, Billy, that my brother can be made well again. He's a good man. He loves the Lord. He's a praying man. He's a God-fearing man. And I sure hate to lose him. Please pray, Billy, that God will heal his body. And you know, every time I was near that man, I saw him at church. Anytime I saw him on the street, wherever I was, he'd always say the same thing. Please pray for my brother. He's not doing good, but he sure needs prayer. And you know, every time I pray for your needs, or every time that I pray for that gentleman's needs or anybody's needs, I think the greatest prayer that I pray and petition God for is, God, I desire for your will to be done in this situation. God, I desire not my will, Lord, but thine will be done. Lord, let thy will be done, Father, in this matter. And you know, I remember the first time I prayed in the presence of this gentleman in prayer for his brother. His brother was there, and I met his brother, and he was at church, and I remember putting my arms around his brother, and his brother said, you know, I hear from my own brother that you've been praying for me for a long time, and I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for God answering prayer. And you know, when he said that, my face kind of lit up, and I kind of smiled, and I said, you know, isn't it good that we serve such a wonderful God? We serve a God that's able to do abundantly above all we can even ask, think, or even imagine. We serve a God that's working in your life, and we serve a God, beloved, tonight that's working in my life in areas that we don't even understand, in matters that we don't know about. God's always working. God's always got His hand in our pathway of life. God's always working in those very important needs. He says in His Word in verse 7, if we resist the devil, he will flee from you. Resisting the devil. You know, I meet people quite often through the internet and through the radio ministry that ask me that question, that very question. Do you really believe there's a real devil out there? You know, when I read those letters and I hear those people make those comments, the first thing I wonder about is if they're saved. Because, you know, I know many people that love the Lord and that have been redeemed and forgiven. Those that today, I believe, are born again. That I know the devil's real in their life. And I believe tonight, I know, I can tell you as a witness and as a testimony, the devil is real in my life every day, beloved. I have situations that go on in my life that I'm sure, that no one but the evil one's behind it. Trying to make me stumble. Trying to make me fall. You know, this very morning, I'll be open and candid and honest with you. As I was reading my Bible this morning, I had read through a couple of verses, and it was early in the morning, of course, and as I read through a few of the verses, all of a sudden I just kind of felt like down inside that I didn't need to read this. And I paused for just a moment, and I opened my Bible back up because I had closed the pages, and I looked at those pages again, and I started reading a few more words and verses, and just a few minutes later, I stopped and thought, you know, It's almost 5 o'clock in the morning. You don't need to be doing this now. Go ahead and rest. And you know, I immediately opened my Bible back up and I bowed my head and I asked the Lord God to rebuke Satan. I said, Lord, I know what's in this word today I need. And I know the evil one, Satan, doesn't want me to read it and don't want me to know it and don't want me to own it surely in my life. And you know, God showed me even this morning, beloved, how important it is to know how to seek God so that we can resist the devil. so that we can ask the Lord God to give us the strength, not on our own, but of the power of the Almighty God, our Lord and our Savior, to repel the devil, the enemy, and keep him at bay. You know, he always seems to come at us when we're weakest, doesn't he? Even when we seem like we're on the very rock bottom, it seems like we may be in despair. You know what? I'm going to let you in on a little secret. He doesn't care. He doesn't care if you're having a great day. He doesn't care if you're in the hospital. He doesn't care. He's still going to beat on you. He's still going to manipulate you. He's still going to try to chew on you. He's still going to try to take the little bit of faith that you're holding on to glorify God. He's going to be trying to steal that from you. The Word of God says that He comes to do what? He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, doesn't He? You know, in our lives every day, I think Satan is working overtime. I'm sure he is. I know he is in my life, trying to take away the blessings and the gifts that God bestows in my life each and every day. And you know, just as I share with you in that truth, even this morning at an early hour, Satan was trying to convince me that I didn't need to read these verses, that you don't need to read these verses. You've read them before. They're going to say the same thing they did last time you read them. They're going to speak the same thing to you. And you know what? I shake this in the devil's face right now tonight. When I read those verses today, just like always, it was as if I've never read them before. And you know what? I praise God for that tonight. No one else. I give God the praise for that. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. You know what? I could spend the next 45 days of my life, I believe, preaching on that one sentence. Come near to God and he'll come near to you. We already know that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. His word promises us that. We already know that His will is to walk beside us. We already know that as a believer tonight, God's Word says that the Lord God, He's our friend. Tonight, I want you to understand this Word and this truth that God has bestowed in our hearts. Coming near to God, I want to ask you a question. In your life, in my life, what have you done this day that would draw you nearer and nearer God's will, God's way? What have you done today that would draw you nearer God? It may be a time you've had a prayer. It may be time you've had today with a friend or a loved one. It may be the time you spent today at hospice home. It may be the time you spent today at a sick bed somewhere. It may be the time today you spent with your own children, your mom or dad, your sister, your brother. I don't know who it is. But what today do you believe God has shown you and placed in your path of life that would draw you nearer God? Every one of you tonight, if I asked that question, would probably give me just a slightly different answer. It says, "Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Strong words. Wash your hands. Wash the things off of your hands, meaning wash the things out of your life, beloved, that you have picked up today in this world. You know, with as many viruses and many flus and all these viruses going around these days, one of the most important things that anybody that goes out in the public can do today is making sure that you keep your hands washed and clean. Every time you make contact with anyone else, they always tell us to make sure we wash our hands thoroughly with soap and warm water, dry them with a separate towel so we make sure we don't share or transfer disease to anyone else. Very important always to wash our hands to keep our bodies and our hygiene clean as it should be. But you see what the context here in this verse tonight speaks of. It's not our outside body the Word speaks of. It's our inside person. Washing our hands, washing our hearts, so that we can know inside of us, inside of beloved you and I tonight, that we know that we have been washed white as snow, as the Word declares, not through anything that we can do or have done or could ever think of doing, but because of the regeneration, because of the salvation offered to you and I tonight through the Holy Spirit, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It speaks of being double-minded. That would be speaking one way on a particular situation or matter, but yet turn right around and be acting entirely different around somebody else. Some of you may know those as double-faced people. The people that maybe are your friend when they're in front of you, but maybe if they get 3 or 4 feet away from you, they may send something behind your back. Something that you know is not true. It's a falsehood. Something that you know is not going to edify or glorify God. Any time that you gossip, any time that you speak down on anyone for any reason, without the matter being a prayer, I want you to know tonight that God's Word tells us that's being a busybody. That's someone that is destroying and tearing down someone's witness and someone's heart. You know, how many times have you and I been hurt in our lives? Many times I know I have, and you as well, when we've heard someone say that someone heard something about us. Wasn't always direct from the one that spoke it, was it? But you know what? It still hurt the same, didn't it? It still destroyed us. It still maybe brought tears to our eyes and pains to our heart because somebody had made a derogatory comment about us or had said something to us that we know is a falsehood. But you know, the best matter to handle that in is prayer. The best matter to do is to come and approach that person and ask first and foremost if that is the truth. And then let that person know that you forgive them. And you know, you may stop and think, well, Billy, don't you have that backwards? Don't you have that turned around? I didn't say anything. I was going to the person that had said something against me. No, I don't have it backwards according to God's Word. His Word says that we should forgive the 7 times 70. We should forgive the hearts and the minds and the thoughts of others. So many times I think of the Christ hanging on a cross there with His arms stretched out with spikes in His hands and His feet as there He was shedding His precious blood on behalf of your sins and my sin. And you know, as I have that picture in my mind tonight, you know what I think about? I think about all those people that were around His feet that day on that hill called Golgotha. And as they were spitting on Him and as they were throwing things around and many of them were mocking Him and talking against Him and talking Him down. So many of them were speaking up at Him and saying, if You are the God, then call upon the angels and ask them to release You and take You from that cross. And all these things were spoken against Him. And the Bible tells us that He uttered not a sound, did He? Never spoke derogatorily against any of them. Didn't say anything negative. Didn't make any comments in any such a way. In fact, we remember the thief on the cross that was nailed next to Him. And how He said, today you will be with Me in paradise. The forgiving heart of Christ Jesus, I would believe, is exactly what God wants us to understand from this message tonight. The softness, the love, the compassion that I believe today is missing so desperately in our world. You know, you turn the television news on or pick up a newspaper, and the last thing you seem to hear much about is the good news. I don't necessarily mean the gospel message. Surely that's the good news, the greatest news of all. But good news about someone that done something good for someone else. You know what I love to see? I love to see real life experiences where I may go to a restaurant or I may go out to a place or be around some friends or be near a neighbor or somewhere else at work and I see someone doing something nice for somebody else. You know what? That kind of sticks down deep inside of my heart. And I thank God for that when I see that. I thank God for that, beloved, when I see that in your lives. And I thank God when God pricks my heart and shows me that I need to do something extra special for someone that I know that I love. You know, that's truly God working, isn't it? That's truly God wanting us to know that we need to be sure, that we need to guard our hearts. We need to be sure we're not double-minded. We need to be sure that we've guarded our hearts and we've allowed the Holy Ghost to control us. It says here in verse 9, grieve, mourn, and wail. It says, change your laughter into mourning and your joy to gloom. In other words, take all this things that are these false facades of joy and all these things that we may do in laughter and what would seem around us to be joy and change those into gloom because we need to always look the Word says, and be sure that what we have in our hearts is not a facade and not a false pretense of laughter and joy and peace. How many times, and as a good example, have you and I walked up to people that walked up and said, "Now, how are you doing? I understand you were not feeling good the other day, and I just wanted to come up today and ask you and see how you're doing." And you know, we're so quick to always tell them something that's not quite true, aren't we? "Oh, I'm doing good. Everything's good. I'm doing well. I'm doing much, much, much better." Just for a few moments, and then you turn around, you walk off, and you stop and think, "You know, I wasn't honest with them. I have been sick, and I'm still weak, and I'm still not doing as well as I should be. I still got issues, and I still got problems in my life." But yet, we didn't tell the honest truth, did we? You know, I think many times when people approach me and ask me if I would pray with them, if I would just undergird them in prayer each day, you know, one of the first things I ask them is that I don't need to know all your details. I don't need to know all the insight of what your need and your problem is. God already knows all that. All I want to know is that you have the faith to believe that God is able. That God is able to take care of the needs that you have in your life and your heart. You know, a few weeks ago I shared with some of you about a precious lady that I had the privilege of praying by her bedside at the hospital. And that lady, the night before, I had been in her room and she was going to have a leg amputated. And she was not a very old lady. I would say she was probably in her maybe early 50s. And she was so concerned because of what it would do and how it would change her life. And I know when I walked into her room that she reached out both arms and said, "Would you please pray with me? I need prayer. Would you please pray with me?" And the first thing I told her was, "I don't have any market on prayer." You see, you and I, beloved, can pray. God tells us that the temple was rent the day on the cross. And that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, each and every one of us, tonight as believers. You know, we don't have to have anybody to do our praying for us, do we? We desire others to pray for our needs. But every one of you, you don't have to be a priest or a preacher. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. We can all pray if we know Jesus Christ as Lord. We can seek the Lord God to help us. And you know, in this situation, that lady wanted me to pray. And I told her, I said, "I surely will pray with you. But I want you to pray." And I had a short prayer with her of a few minutes. She was so burdened about that surgery, as well as anybody would expect her to be. And then when I finished praying, I asked her if she would close the prayer. And that dear lady prayed the sweetest and the most humble prayer that I believe I've ever heard anyone pray that I have prayed with. And you know what was so special and so sweet about it? That woman was at a point in her life, beloved, where God wants us all to be. She was at a point in her life where she had to trust God. Hear me. She had to trust God completely, wholly, and fully for the healing in her life because she had nowhere else she could turn. You know, sometimes in my life when I see that I've fallen down and look around to see if anybody has seen me fall, the first place you and I need to always be looking and seeing and reaching out for the hand of Christ, don't we? The hand of the Lord God to help us up. You know, at night after praying with that dear lady, that next morning I went into her room. It was about 7 a.m. and she was due for surgery about 8:30. And I know when I went into her room that next morning, she had the blinds open. She was sitting in a chair beside the bed. And I asked her, "How are you doing?" And she said, "I haven't slept a wink since you left my room early this morning." She said, "All I can do is just thank God for being with me." She said, "I've been thanking God all night long for just being with me." She said, "I don't know what the outcome of this surgery is going to be. I don't know. That's truly in God's hands." But she said, "The part of it that I wanted God to give me peace about, God gave me the peace about, and that was to know my Father in heaven was going to be with me. He's going to be with me," she said, "in this room today." She said, "He's going to be with me in the operating room and guide those hands." And she said as well, "My Lord God's going to be with me through the post-surgery, the rehabilitation." She said, "My God's going to be with me, Billy, all the way to the end of time." You know, when she said that, it encouraged my heart so much. Because I know the despair and I know the desperation that was in her trembling voice when I first spoke to her and walked into her room. I saw what God did in her life. I saw God work. I saw the power of the Holy Spirit work in her heart. And you know, I give God praise tonight. It's why I share that testimony with you tonight. You see, verse 10, and I close with this. She realized this verse in real life, in her heart and her faith. For it says in verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Don't we need that tonight? Don't we need, don't you and I tonight, beloved, need to humble ourselves so that we can be lifted up by the hand of God? To know that wherever we are, no matter how low our circumstances, God's Word says here, beloved, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Now, that's not a very complicated verse to understand, is it? Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Can you say that with me tonight? Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. You know, I believe that's a verse tonight that we all need to keep firm and planted in our heart and our spirit, don't we? To humble ourselves. To humble ourselves in a situation of desperation. To humble ourselves when things in our life are not going exactly the way we think it ought to go. To humble ourselves when we have financial needs in our life. To humble ourselves, beloved, when we have those very desperate physical needs in our life. To humble ourselves when we know that we have nowhere to turn. You know why? Again, God's Word says that if we humble ourselves, our Father in heaven, He'll lift us up. He'll lift you up. He'll lift me up, beloved. Praise God. I thank God tonight that He will reach out and He will lift us up from that miry clay that we've gotten ourselves into. How many times a day do I walk before God with miry clay on my shoes? How many times a day do you come before the Lord God with hopelessness in your heart? Each and every one of us, many times, I'm sure, every day. But you know, that verse alone gives me the peace, and that verse alone gives me the truth and understanding that I can hold on to tonight, and I can cling to the hem of His garment with, to humble ourselves before the Lord, so that our Lord and our God, He can keep us lifted up out of that miry clay, and lifted and set on that rock. I pray tonight that's where you're living your life. Not by a false hope, and not by what somebody else may believe, and not by what somebody else has told you, but I trust deep down in your spirit tonight that the love and the intimate relationship that you have with your Lord, your God, Jesus Christ, I pray tonight that's a personal relationship. Just come before Him. Will you pray with me tonight? Father, tonight we come before You, Father, tonight in Jesus' name. Lord God, we thank You, Father, tonight for Your blessings. We thank You, Father, tonight for just lifting us up. Oh God, we just call upon You tonight, God, and we ask You, Father, as humbly as we know how, God, that tonight, Father, You would just lift us up, God. You would just lift us up out of the circumstances of this world that we're in. May You lift us up, God, out of this bodies of affliction that we may have in our lives tonight. Father, will You just lift us up, Father, out of these circumstances that we may have gotten ourselves into, Father, even this day. Father, will You just lift us up, God? Will You allow us to be humble before You, God? Oh, God, humble our hearts tonight, I pray. Speak unto us, God, in a way that would glorify Your name, Father, is my deepest prayer. Beloved, tonight, if God has spoken to your heart, and I pray that He has, if God has convicted your soul and your spirit tonight, and the understanding of this message, this word tonight, God has used to raise up inside of you that thought, that conviction that God has placed there, I want you to know tonight, I would ask you to just come before the Lord Jesus tonight and just repent of your sins. Just come before the Lord God tonight and just allow the Lord God to save you and to forgive you and to humble you and just repent before Him tonight, will you? May God tonight have right away. May Him have the will in your heart tonight. Pray this prayer with me tonight if God has spoken to you. Father, tonight I know I'm a sinner. God, I know I'm lost, and God, I know there's things in my heart and life tonight, Father, that I'm so ashamed of, Father, and I'm so ashamed to even confess them, God, before You. But God, your word says that if we confess our sins, Father, that you are faithful and you are just, God, and that you'll forgive us of our sins. And Father, not only that, you'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh God, I come before you tonight and I ask you to save my soul, God. Father, I come before you tonight and ask you to forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of the things in my life, God, that are against your will. Oh God, I believe tonight that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Father, I believe tonight that he was nailed to a cross on behalf of my sins. And I believe there, Father, you placed upon him, your only begotten Son, the sin debt of this whole world, Father, including me. And God, I would ask you tonight, Father, to just receive me, God, unto you. Father, I would ask tonight that you would just know, Father, you would just believe, Father, and you would just raise me up, God, out of this miry clay that I live in. God, I'd ask you to take away the taste that I have in my mouth for all the old things of life. God, I would ask you, Father, to just change my heart. Just renew an upright and a righteous spirit, God, within me this day, I pray. Oh, God, I thank you for speaking to me. God, I thank you for saving me. God, I thank you for not ever giving up on me, Father. Oh, God, I love you tonight. And, Father, I thank you for loving me. I thank you, Father, tonight for those in my family, God, have been praying for me all these many, many years, God, never gave up on me. God, I thank you tonight, Father, for saving my soul from hell. I thank you tonight, God, for loving me. I thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on behalf of my sins, Lord. Oh, God, I love you tonight, and I thank you, Father, for loving me in such great and wonderful ways. Beloved, tonight, if you prayed that prayer and you believe that God has saved your soul tonight, I rejoice with you, as well as the Word of God testifies that thousands of angels in heaven rejoice each and every time a sinner comes into repentance. Beloved, I would ask you to find a Bible preaching, a Bible believing church in your local community. Get your hands on the copy of the Word of God. May you study it. May you ask and seek the Lord God to show you and to guide you and to lead you and to nurture you in the will and the way of Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you tonight, Father, for what you do in so many hearts and lives, including our own, God. I ask you to bless each and every one that's here tonight in this service. May you lift them, Father. May you just undergird them. God, may you keep your hands upon them until the next appointed hour, God, and we come together again, Father. May you be exalted in everything that we say and everything we do. For tonight we come and we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
This concludes tonight's live worship service. We pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, each one listening has been blessed through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to join us back again next week for another live outreach worship service as we together continue praising Jesus Christ. Those tonight who have made decisions to follow Christ, desiring additional biblical resources, or anyone with special prayer concerns, are personally invited to visit the Praising Jesus Ministry website. The web address is www.praisingjesus.org. That address again is www.praisingjesus.org. We want to thank each of you tonight for listening. We invite you back again next week as together we seek God to guide, mold, and speak to our hearts and lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. Good night, and may God bless each of you, is my prayer.